Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, not only will you open the door to new understandings, but you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome back Kate Shaddock. She is a medical intuitive and an animal communicator. Kate uses her work to work with her clients in a unique way. She created her business, Radiant Animals, after becoming aware that even the best Western medicine cannot always provide animals or people with what is needed for optimal happiness and well-being. Her journey into the alternative health world began after she sustained a severe cat bite and became critically ill. Given a grim prognosis by the mainstream medical community, Kate chose to explore holistic and spiritual options for living successfully with chronic illness. While still working full-time as an engineer for a Fortune 500 company, Kate embarked on a new path, training in several modalities including NMT, Tongren, bodywork, matrix energetics, and access consciousness. After retirement from corporate life, with her empathy and love for animals still a driving force, Kate's innate intuitive abilities truly began to emerge. Although her passion for the animal kingdom was originally her focus, the scope of Radiant Animals has expanded and now includes energy work, intuitive and mediumship readings, speaking, writing, and teaching. By integrating her scientific and theoretical education with alternative healing modalities and spiritual practices, Kate has created a holistic approach allowing her clients, both human and animal, to experience healthier, happier lives. And so let me introduce Kate. Kate, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, David. It's great to be with you again.
I always enjoy it, Kate. It's a pleasure to have you, and I appreciate your willingness to appear as a guest on the show. Now, we were talking a little bit about what you'd like to discuss before the show, and of course, we will attend to the callers that are on the lines after we've spoken for a while. But Kate, you wanted to talk about stress and how that plays into our relationship with our pets and how our pets can handle that.
Yes, because, you know, animals get routines and they don't particularly like having their routines changed. And everyone assumes, oh, that's always the cats. But actually, dogs are just as resistant to change as a cat is. So our animals have had a lot to cope with in the last 6 months, from everybody going home and staying home, which, you know, that's very unusual for most households, to, well, we're sort of working, but are we working? Do we have a job? Do we not have a job? And are we closed down again? Are we not closed down? So the stress that they're picking up from us and the fact that their routines have been so tremendously changed does play a part with a lot of animals not doing so well. One of the things that I see and I have clients call me about is their animals have gotten cranky, that the animal's a little more snappy and a little more growly, or the animal looks or acts more depressed than they're used to. And it's because, you know, excuse me, you've messed up their routine, and they really do like their routines. So this is one of the things that we need to be aware of, is just like for us, physical exercise does wonders for helping our animals cope. So if you haven't started walking your dogs before, this is a perfect time to walk your dogs. The cats, get out the toy, the fishing pole toy, get out the laser toy. Play chase through the house with the cat. Whatever we can do to help them move, because movement helps dissipate stress. It'll help dissipate it for us, and it will help dissipate it for our animals. So this is something that we need to be aware of. Another thing is, a lot of us have maybe not been as careful with our diet during this time as we would be otherwise. And some of us are also allowing our animals to have more treats or maybe people food than we normally would. And this is a good time to remember, hey, we got the holidays coming. They're going to be completely different this year than they have been in the past. We can't get with our friends and family the way we did in the past. But we still need to pay attention. And if we're feeding our animals too many treats or giving them people food, this is a not good time to start tapering off on that. Because, you know, people food for dogs, that's how you can get pancreatitis started up. And that's a really nasty disease and very, very expensive if you know, your animal food comes to it. So, you know, let's go back to the basics. And that's what I tell my clients. Let's go back to the basics now. This is a good time to do it. So movement and watching our food are going to be huge things to help. And one of the things I tell people, some people think I'm silly, but it actually works. Tell your pet that no matter what, you're together. No matter what, you're going to stay together. And that's real important for them to understand. And yes, they do understand what you're saying, not necessarily your words, but they do read your minds. And they're saying, okay, everything's going to be okay. We're staying together. And whether that means you're moving to a job or whatever, if the animal has that certainty and that comfort that things are going to work out and the family staying together, that's a huge stress buster for your critters.
Well, that's a wonderful notion. I had never thought of doing that with my pets. I recognize that they're extremely intuitive creatures, but I've never thought of reassuring my pets that I'm with them no matter what. That's a wonderful notion.
Yeah.
I love it.
And it's surprising. One of the wonderful family I've been working with for years. I work with all of the animals in the family, and that's quite a few animals. And they were moving one time, and she called me up, and she says in a whisper, "Don't tell the dog, but we're moving." And after I got done laughing hard, I said, "The minute you thought it, the dog knew it." And the dog was really acting out. The dog was becoming actually quite dangerous. It was a big dog. It was a powerful dog. And she was attacking anybody to the point where the police, you know, came and knocked on their door one day, which is not what any dog owner wants to deal with. And I said, "Well, what are you doing with the dog?" She said, "Well, you know, we're kind of, so we sat down and I said, "Okay, when are you moving? What's going to happen to this dog? What happens when you come back for holidays? What happens to this dog? What happens when you come back?" And so we spelled it out line by line by line. So it was very clear. And I said, "And the dogs are listening to us as we're talking about this." She said, "They're not even in the room." I said, "The dogs and I are talking. The dog doesn't have to be in the room with you. The dogs and I are talking." And once the dog knew that she was safe, that no matter what happened to the family, she was safe, and the family would get back together again, she settled down completely. And it's stuff like that that makes me a believer in, yeah, tell your animals. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in what we're doing that we forget that they are a partner in all of this. I've got a lot of friends in the last few months that have moved for very, very good reasons, not because of COVID, not because of any one specific thing, but they've all moved to a place where they're going to be more happy, which is wonderful. But a lot of them have got pets. And so I have sessions sometimes before the move and after the move. Some of them I have the session after the move that, okay, you're settled. They're not going anywhere. You're okay. You're okay. And some of them, like one set, they drove the cat across the country and took their time doing it, which makes sense. But I was explaining to the cat all the way through, you're okay, you're okay. Nobody's taking you to the pound. You're with your family. You're okay. And that helped a lot. The poor cat was much better.
Well, I went through a situation like that recently with a pet of mine that we had to put to sleep. But I can remember lying down next to her and letting her know it was okay and that I would take care of her and that we would always be together. And she looked at me with trusting eyes, and she was very much in tune with what I was saying. And it was very comforting to myself, too, to reassure myself that all was well, even though it was a very sad time for me.
Well, and this is the thing. I'm sorry. We've had
okay.
A lot of smoky days here because of everybody else's fires. We did have the smoke here. And, man, you inhale enough smoke, your lungs are not happy with you. But the thing that a lot of people realize, you know, people who love and adore their animals, they stay with us. They stay with us. You know, it's not uncommon to have a kitty that's passed 10 years ago, and you'll take a nap and you wake up and you're going, the cat's on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
You look and there's no cat, but you know the cat's on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And which is
mm-hmm.
really very comforting when they do that. Thank you.
Yeah, I've had the experience of her appearing a couple of times, and it's been very comforting.
Yes. Well, and it's interesting because a lot of my clients, not all of them, but a lot of my clients want me to connect to the animal as the animal is transitioning so that they know that the animal is safe, you know, and I'm helping the animal understand you're safe, you're safe, you're safe, you're safe. And it's been really funny. Sometimes they're greeted by another animal. Sometimes they're greeted by a person. But I'm able to go back to the family and say, okay, she transitioned, and, you know, your Aunt Mabel was there to pick her up, or your dad or your sister or whatever. And that makes a lot of people much more comfortable.
Yeah, I have a friend had to put her cat down a couple of months ago, and she's seen her cat several times, and it even left pops on the window.
It is funny that, like I said, they can be gone 10 years and they'll still come back. And the other one, I used to do it a lot more than I do now, but a lot of our animals have been with us multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not unusual to have a cat or a dog that maybe had been with you as a child and is coming back and is with you again. And those, you know, as I tell people, there's the cat or the dog, and then there's the cat and the dog. And people who have had, you know, their animals for many years, they understand what I mean by the difference. That there are every now and again there's super special animals, and I'm willing to bet on this because I've seen it so many times that the super super special animals are the ones we have had with us a couple other times.
Yeah,
and sometimes
I believe that two of the animals that I have now have been with me before.
Mm-hmm. Because you know your connection's just different, and the animal is just different.
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting. And I always am amused when people say, well, I can't talk to animals. It's like, sure you can. Tell me what your cat's thinking right now. Tell me what your dog's thinking right now. And 9 times out of 10, they'll say, well, this is just a guess. I said, you're absolutely right on. That's exactly what your dog was talking about. I'm like, really? Yeah. You know, we do develop a communication with the animals we spend time with.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about tonight, Kate?
Oh, that was the main one, and I have been following the CDC very closely through all the COVID craziness. That's my term for it nowadays, is COVID craziness. And I've been really watching and being very aware of what they say about animals with the COVID. And the stories kind of waffle a little bit, but basically it appears that everyone has agreed that COVID is not transmittable to our pets or from our pets. And that is a really important thing for those of us who adore our animals. We want to make sure they're protected. I'm not going to, you know, invite in a whole bunch of germy people to love on them, but I would also invite a whole bunch of germy little kids having, you know, colds. I would have them come bleed on me there. But that is something that we just need to be aware of, is with all the conflicting news stories that we're getting about yes, no, no, yes, yes, no, everyone seems to agree that we are not transmitting to or from our animals. And yes, there have been one or two cases where they're absolutely sure the animal got it, but you know, when you go back and look at the details, there was all kinds of extenuating circumstances that says, no, it really truly wasn't a transmission. And I think it's important for us as pet owners to understand that.
Well, another thing that I wanted to bring up, I understand that there is a tremendous demand now during COVID for people to get pets and that there's a shortage of them.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that wonderful? That is so cool. Yes, because so many people have been fostered. And I know myself, I've talked to a couple brilliant friends who are phenomenally well-connected to all kinds of worldwide information. And it is just so amazing that people are recognizing how valuable our pets are for our sanity. Because, you know, the largest growing population in America, anyway, is single-person households. And not necessarily just with the older folks. It's all ages, single-person households. And your pet is your, you know, sanity blanket, et cetera. And, you know, to be quarantined where we can't interact with other people, our pets become even more important. And that's why people are getting the, you know, they're emptying out the shelters, which is just fabulous.
That is fabulous.
I am so thrilled to see that. Yeah, so thrilled to see that.
Well, we do have some callers. Oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to point out one thing. Please, 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 with the holidays coming up, please do not get someone a pet for the holidays. If they want a pet, give them the fee for the adoption and let them go pick their own pet. Please do not get a pet and give it to someone else, because that is very seldom successful. So let people be independent, go get their own pets. Okay, I'm done.
I've heard that said before. I'm just curious, what is the rationale behind that?
The reason is, well, you know, you may think that mom needs a dog, and so you go get mom a dog. Well, maybe mom has her heart set on a Labrador, and you get mom a poodle, a little poodle. And, you know, a little poodle, she can trip over. So, you know, we have to, especially when it comes to dogs, because there's such a variety in them. And, you know, I always love it when people say, oh, I went and picked my pet. I said, no, you didn't. You put yourself in a position, and the pet picked you, because that is truly what happens. You know, how many times have people gone to the shelter and come home and gone to shelter and come home because no animal picked them? So that's why you want to be able to have the animal and you bond and pick each other. And then it's a much more successful, much longer-lived relationship than if you get an animal from someone else. So they, you know, they pick an animal that they think will suit for you, but they don't, you know, it's not your animal.
Well, that is so true in my experience and knowing other people that have picked animals, that it was very much a mutual situation, or that the animals actually picked the owners. My husband and I adopted
the animals. Go ahead.
Pick the owners?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say that my husband and I adopted two kitties that were born in the wild, They were kittens, and he adopted one, and I adopted the other. And the two cats had other ideas in mind, and the one he adopted me, and vice versa. So that's very true. I can bear out that experience.
Yeah, animals are very clear about what they want, and they will figure out how to get it. So we may as well just cooperate with them from the beginning.
I love it. Well, would you be prepared to take a couple of calls?
Sure.
Okay. Let's see here. Area code 917. You've been with us the longest, and I don't know your name. What is your first name, please?
Well, hi. Thank you. This is Casey in New York.
Hi, Casey.
Hi. Yes, I'm very intrigued, and nice to meet you, Kate, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm calling about my cat, Angel, and it's kind of interesting what you said about the cats picking us. I found her online on Craigslist. I was obsessed with finding a cat, and I kept scouring Craigslist and other places, you know, online. And I found this one, and this woman had posted pictures, and I just fell in love with this little kitty. It was kind of like love at first picture, and I went to meet her and got her. So I was, how do you see that? You know, did she find me, or was it an agreement from before?
Well, it most likely was an agreement from before that this is how you two would meet, because when kitties. How long had you been hunting for a cat when you found her on Craigslist?
Maybe a month.
Okay.
Something like that.
Had a similar situation. I had been hunting for a dog, and I'd had my name on dog's list for 3 years. And,
wow.
You know, I get a notice, and it's like, no, notice no, notice no, notice no, notice no. And then I saw this one little dog, and I said, oh, yeah, she's mine. And I planned to get one dog, and I ended up getting two dogs because she was bonded with another dog. So I got them both, and they have blessed my life for 4 years now. So when you have situations like that, I really do believe that, you know, because animals have a higher self and we have a higher self. And I truly do believe that higher selves have a conference periodically with each other. And they say, you know, this is what we need to do here. She wants a kitty. This kitty wants a home. This would be a good match. And, you know, they kind of check in with their partners, meaning, you know, your higher self with you and the kitty's higher self with her, and say, yeah, this would be a good match. And then they make it available to us. Because, you know, the gal could have advertised in some other medium that you would never have seen, or the gal could have advertised in something that there were 27 people who wanted the cat. So I do believe that there is absolutely divine timing going on, and there is divine planning behind it. So cool. And it's wonderful you named her Angel, because they definitely had a hand in it.
Oh, the thing is this, I didn't name her. The people that honed her or whatever, it was a small family. They had just a few cats, you know, this one litter. So I got her at 8 weeks old, but they had named her.
That doesn't make any difference. If you had not thought the name was appropriate, you could have changed it. So you thought the name was appropriate too.
Yes. Yes. It did seem to fit her, and she responded, so I said, why not?
It works. It works great. What a happy story.
Can you tell me, is she okay? Do you have any messages for me?
Well,
I get the feeling lately if something is bothering her or she needs a lot of attention, and I do give it to her, but a lot of times I'm not getting what she wants. And she tends to get aggressive too much. I would like to have her stop that.
Okay. One of the things that I go look for, one of the things she was telling me is, I want a lot of combing. I want to be brushed, not combed. I want to be brushed. I want you sitting with a towel on your lap, brushing me, is one of the things she said. But when we were talking about her getting a little fussy, I went and checked how responsive to stimuli is she, which is only one, which is perfect. You know, ideal is zero, but then could be up 0 to 5, which is still okay. But when it comes to when she is stimulated, she overreacts. So she has a little bit of stimulus and she goes, wah! You know, just overreacts dramatically. So she and I were just having a chat about that, and I said, why? And part of it is because she was with the other cats. She felt like she kind of needed to establish her place, that, you know, she was a big girl and she was a big cat, even though you got her at 8 weeks, so obviously she wasn't big. Never mind, she's big. So she and I just had a chat about that, and I said, well, wouldn't it be less wearing on you and more fun for mom if you were calmer? And you don't have to establish your place because you've already got it. So you're already a special, special kitty, a special kitty in the house. So you're okay. And it was funny because she said, I am? I said, yeah, you am. She's like, really? I said, yeah. And she's like, oh, okay.
Oh, that's cute. Well, I always
She just kind of missed that part.
Yeah. I do talk to her, and I tell her how much I love her and everything, and it's just her and I, and, you know, we're in this together and stuff like that, and I hug her.
And that message is us together. Now, the other thing, this is something a lot of people don't tend to realize, everybody understands dogs, you have to be the alpha with dogs because dogs will take over. Guess what? You have to be the alpha with a cat. Because cats will do the same darn thing. So part of you, you know, we're all in this together, and I'm the boss is the rest of that. I'm the boss. I will protect you. And that's what she's needing to hear is I will protect you. You're safe. And this is one of the things, you know, with my little dogs, that was one of the things we had to have conversations for several years about. My job is to protect. Your job is to entertain. So you make me laugh, and I'll protect you. And so that's the kind of thing you're going to want to do with her, because part of her getting a little hyper about things is that she's trying to take over the alpha spot, and you don't want that. That's not a good thing. That's not safe for either one of you.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yes. Yes. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you for calling,
Casey.
Thank you
for calling.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Great show.
Thank you so much. Okay. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too. Oh,
thanks. Okay, our next caller is from area code 804. And what is your first name, please?
My name is Renelle, and I live in Virginia.
Hi, Renelle.
Renelle. Hi.
Renelle.
I appreciate y'all taking my call.
Sure.
I have one cat. She had a sister, but her sister passed about three years ago. I had to put her down because she was very ill. And I had other cats too, but they also had to get put down. But the one cat that I do have left, for some strange reason, a little earlier today, she all of a sudden was just running around any kind of way, and then she went in the kitchen and she jumped on top of the kitchen cabinet over the sink, and she did it about 2 times. But she have haven't been feeling well this year. I did take her to a vet about 2 or 3 times, and she was diagnosed as having an ear infection because I still see her shaking her head and everything. She also was diagnosed with the beginnings of kidney disease and urinary tract infection. And I was wondering if she still have those issues. Or
what's her name? What's Kitty's name?
Her name is Lucy. She's around 6 years old.
That's awfully young to be having all those problems. You know, urinary tract infections and kidney disease. That's awfully young. So let's just see what we have.
Okay.
And I look at the kidney separately. I look at the left and then I look at the right because they can be quite different. You know, one can be not doing well at all and the other one could be fine. And one of the things, too, that I look at with animals is candida. Now, as I tell people, if you have a pulse, you have candida. Candida is not an issue unless candida gets above 10. But what I'm hearing is making me kind of wonder if there's some candida going on. But let's check the kidneys first.
Okay.
Okay, the left kidney is 98, which 98 out of 100. So that's very good. So let's see what the right kidney's doing.
Okay.
98, so her kidneys are fine. So let's look at the bladder.
Okay.
See what that has to say. Okay, it's 96. So let's see what candida is on her.
Okay.
Because this is looking suspiciously like a candida issue.
Oh, okay.
Okay, her candida level is 40, 4-0. And as I said, it's fine until it gets above 10. Well, obviously 40 is not so fine. 40 is not so good. So we're just going to go in and we're going to see if we can get that tamped out.
Okay.
We obviously don't want to wipe it out because, you know, we need some candida, just not 40.
Right.
We're going to see what the independent frequencies have to say.
Okay.
Because they, if the animal is not, if the being, whether it's a person or an animal, if the being is not going to stay, the independent frequencies won't come in. If the being is planning to stay, the frequencies will come in and they can help get her better. So let's see what's coming in. Oh, yeah, they're coming in. They're coming in. So she's got help.
Great. Oh, I'm sorry, that's my clock. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to another room for a minute. I hope it's not going to distract you.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I've done this work in some of the weirdest places. Yeah, so she's got a lot of frequencies coming in. Okay. And the nice thing is they're all going into the etheric body, and we have the four lower bodies. And the four lower bodies are the physical body, the etheric body, the emotional body, and the mental body. 99% of people, our mental bodies are pretty good, and the rest of our bodies are not so hot. Animals stay connected to their bodies better. But these are all going into the etheric body, which is great, because we get sick in the etheric body before we get sick in the physical body. We get well in the etheric body before we get well in the physical body. So let's see, I've called in the independence, and I've also done some work myself. Let's see where she is now.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, her candida level went from 40 down to 2. So her candida level is much more sane, much better, and that should calm her down quite a bit because that candida was putting a lot of pressure on her system. And when animals act out, 99.99999% of the time, when an animal acts out, it's because they want help. And they're saying, help me, help me, help me. And, you know, us humans are not real smart. Sometimes they have to do ghastly things to get our attention. But, so Kitty was just saying, hello, Mama, I need help.
Well,
so
okay.
she looks like she's doing pretty good.
Oh, great. Also, there's been like a, I know it's going to sound kind of crazy, but I think sometimes a rat keeps coming back. I'd be wondering if there's some kind of way to will it out of here and not, you know, make it not come back.
Is that her sister or is that, you know, is it, what is coming back that you don't want there anymore?
It's a rat. I'm not sure how. I think it's a rat.
Oh, a rat.
Sometimes,
rat. Okay, a rat.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, rats are not. You know, I've had them. I've had them as pets. But I've pretty much had every critter on the planet as pets. So, probably the easiest and the best in the converse because I live where we have scorpions, and we have the little bitty scorpions. They're very small, but they're extremely toxic. They're very, very deadly. And I I have explained to all beings, and this is all beings, whether they've got 2 feet, 4 feet, or no feet, mm-hmm. that this is my house, and only what is for the highest and best is allowed inside my house. Mm-hmm. So everything that is not for my highest and best and the highest and best of my animals is not allowed in my house. And
right.
that if you come in my house, I will kill you. But if you stay outside, I will make sure you have food. I will make sure you have water, but you're not allowed in my house. And I've had that conversation with all of them. And if this is a rat that has been killed and is coming back in spirit, you can do the same thing. Just this mm-hmm. is my house, and only the highest and best is allowed in my house.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
And sometimes, you know, when things are bad, I do that in the morning and in the evening. First thing when I wake up, last thing when I go to bed.
Okay. Well, I will certainly do that.
Okay.
And,
it'll help. It'll help.
Okay. And one quick question. I know you have to get to all the people. My left leg, in the lower part of my left leg, I've been feeling pain in there for the last few days. Do you know if you could tell
okay,
what's going on?
Is it going up past your knee? Does it go up past your knee, or is it only in the lower leg?
I believe it's in the lower leg.
Does it go up to the knee? Can you tell me which side of the leg it's on? Is it on the outside of the leg or the inside of the leg? Meaning,
right.
does it show up on the left of the leg or the right of the leg?
The left.
The left, okay. Well, two things going on that right off the get-go that make me go, isn't this interesting? It's your left leg, which is the feminine. You know, the left side of the body is a feminine. Whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. So the left side is feminine, and legs are... Okay. And so you've got the left side of the body, and you've got the left leg. A leg is moving forward. It's your, you know, standing up and moving forward. So, you know, kind of take a look at that and see where somebody has tried to shut you down and say, oh, you don't know anything because you're a woman. I know it's not fun, but pretty much every woman on the planet has run across them. So the other thing that you need to be aware of, and again, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not diagnosing, but I'm giving you some
right.
ideas that you might consider checking, is
right.
The leg. The lower leg is kidney and liver predominantly. Those are going to be kidney and liver warning signs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got you know, any concerns with the kidney or liver, it's a good time to make a call to your doctor and say, hey, let's just do a check. But first I think about, you know, okay, where am I not stepping forward into my power? And right
mm-hmm.
now, because the divine feminine is finally pleased, finally, and we've been waiting for it for 20 years, but the divine
mm-hmm.
feminine is waking up, and women are being called to step up in a way that we haven't been allowed for the last 500
mm-hmm.
years. So it's a little scary to be facing that. So think about that first. Think about, okay, where am I not stepping up? Where have I gotten shut down
mm-hmm.
as a woman? And then also, you know, if it persists, I'd absolutely have a chat with a doctor about kidney or liver. And, you know, not necessarily something traumatic. It's like not like they're going to fall out of your body, but you might
uh-huh.
have an infection going on someplace, and, you know, they can help check for that.
Okay. Okay. I will have him run some tests. And I appreciate your help, and I thank you again both for taking my call, and I thank you for helping Lucy get better.
Well, thank you for
yeah,
calling,
Yeah, she's
Renna.
A nice cat.
Okay. And you both have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You
thank
do
you.
The same. Thanks so much. Well,
come
Kate,
on.
We don't have any other callers at present. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about tonight?
You know, it's interesting when we a lot of times I'll work with a client and or a new cat. I'll work with a new pet, or I'll work with a new client. And it's really interesting to me how often I will say, you know, the cat has this or this or this going on, or the dog. And the person will say, oh, my gosh, that's what I was just diagnosed with. Or vice versa. I'll be talking to the person. I'll say, you know, you really need to be checking this and this because I'm seeing that they're not functioning right. You need to, you know, have them checked out. and they'll say, oh my gosh, my cat or my dog just got diagnosed with this. And, you know, it's an interesting, how do we pair up like that? There's a couple thoughts that, you know, different people have put forth over the years. One of them is that the animals take on our stuff. And I do know that they do that to a certain degree, and we always have to be careful with them. I may have told the story in the past, but several years ago I was dealing with a very difficult situation. A member of my family was dying, and I was, you know, doing bedside visits for 30 days as he was passing. And I had my dogs with me, and I told the dogs, don't take on my stuff. Please, I don't want you taking on my grief. I don't want you taking on any of my stuff. Your job is to make me laugh. And they were like, okay, we can do it. And so that was their job. They, you know, kept me very entertained, more so than they normally do, for weeks on end as I was going through that very difficult time. The other one that people have suggested is perhaps we're just on similar life paths, that maybe we're going through cancer with this dog or this cat right now, because it's both of our life paths and we're here to help support one another. So that's something, you know, when people say, oh my God, I caused my dog to get sick. No, you didn't cause your dog, unless of course you're feeding them terrible food and not exercising them and stressing them out. But generally you don't cause the animals to get sick. And we need to not beat ourselves up about that, because there's the list of things we can beat ourselves up about is so long, we don't need to add to it. So I just, I mean, shoot. If my uncle one time said, you know, he was talking about his kids going to some scary movie that depressed him. He says, if you want to be depressed, just balance your checkbook. Which I thought about that many times over the years. I'm going, yeah, you were right, uncle. But, and one of the other things about, you know, when animals are sick, we have a tendency to, oh, poor baby, poor baby, poor baby. We kind of reinforce the sick instead of reinforcing what they can do and the positives. So, you know, I'm not saying ignore or deny your animal is sick, but I'm saying that isn't all that they are. You know, you're not the kidney in bed three, like some doctors want to treat us. You know, the animal, okay, maybe they've got hip dysplasia, but everything else works great. Then, hey, let's celebrate that. So we don't want to get totally caught up in the negatives, because that just makes things worse.
That's so true.
I'm a great fan of, yeah, focus on the positive. And this is something with the COVID craziness going on right now. I keep reminding people, focus on what you want. Don't focus on what you don't want, because the more we focus on what we don't want, what do we get? More of what we don't want.
You sound like Esther Hicks.
You know, there's a reason I've gone to see Esther numerous times over the years, because, the mindset, yep. I totally get Esther's mindset, because it's like, and you know, you just watch, and you see the people who are victims. Well, they're victims because they focus so hard on being a victim. So,
right.
You know, they fall over the opportunities that come to them they can't see because they're so busy being a victim. And, you know, that's just not okay. We don't want to do that. And, you know, the other thing that we need to remember with animals, and this is kind of hard for people. I have a really good book when one of their animals pass away, I have a really good book I send to them. And we need to remember that to an animal, death is not the same as it is to us. Partly because they haven't separated. They haven't separated from the divine. And they have separated their four lower bodies, which, as I was saying, most humans, we tend to divorce our bodies as quick as we can. And animals don't ever do that. So I never am having to go to an animal and help. Well, not never, but very, very seldom am I having to help an animal's emotional body, you know, heal up so it can join the other four lower. And, you know, and one of the things that, you know, I was talking about when you focus so much on the negative, 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 this is something I spend a lot of time with my clients. They'll call me up and they say, my animal needs to go. And I say, well, are you sure? And I say, yeah, I'm absolutely sure. And I say, okay, let me check. And, you know, more often than not, they're right. But occasionally they're not. to the person, it looks so painful or it looks so stressful that the person's like, oh, they've got to die. And I was like, they don't want to. They don't. They're not going to. So calm down and love the animal while they're here. When they're ready to go, they'll go. But they're not ready to go right now. I have a client that she has been taking phenomenal care of a kitty who now can't walk. But, you know, he does not want to go. And he's very clear, I'm not going. So she loves on him and takes care of him and, you know, does everything she can for him so that he has a good quality of life until he decides he's done. And he's just not done yet. So we got to be careful about, you know, not, you know, pushing them out the door too quick. But on the other hand, their perspective of death is so different than ours. You know, most people, if you say, well, you know, you're going to die, and they're like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, well, let me spend $10,000 to avoid it. And, you know, in my own case, when I'm introduced in the medical circles, when I'm introduced, they always make a point of, and she has a fatal condition, you know, the condition because of the cat bite that is considered absolutely 100% fatal. And I keep pointing out gently, sometimes and not so gently others, so is life. Uh-huh. You know, it's like Red Skelton said a million years ago, none of us are going to get out of this alive. So we figure out how we're going to make the best of what we got, have the best fun. Now let's have the best fun. Why not? And animals are very much that way too. And again, because they stay with us, even when they're out of body, they are still hanging around. They're still, you know, and I know, you know, you were talking about the ones you could see periodically. And I know I was teaching a animal communication class many, many years ago. And someone was talking to my youngest cat who had come into my household after my oldest cat had passed. But she completely, perfectly described the oldest cat that she'd never met because that cat had kept coming back. And so the younger cat had met it. And I was actually kind of surprised because she was such a young cat at the time. I didn't know that she would have, you know, noticed or paid attention. But, yeah, she was. When they said, how many cats do you live with? She said, this many. And what do they look like? And she explained it. And she explained this cat. It's like, okay, evidently you can see her. Cool. So that's the thing we have to remember, that animals, I love the silly idea that animals are the lesser species. It's like, really? That's like saying an elm is a lesser species.
Yeah, right.
They are not the lesser species. They are a different species, but they're not by any means lesser. And so we have to remember, we have to get our heads out of that silliness of, well, they can't make decisions. They can't choose. They can't do this. And yeah, they can. Because, you know, I worked with this one client, her dog, she had a beagle, a phenomenal beagle. And people have been telling her for a year that she needed to let the beagle go. And the beagle did not want help. He was not going to go on his own. And everybody else could just cool their jets. And then finally the day came when the beagle said, yeah, I can go. But he was very clear. I want help and I want it this way. I want dad to take mom and me to the vet so that the vet doesn't put me down at home so mom has the bad memories. I don't want mom driving home alone after I leave. So the dog was very specific about what it wanted. And, you know, considering how a lot of people suffer for years and years and years, I'm thinking the animal's got a better idea.
Well, you know, you talked earlier about how a lot of times people think it's time to put their pets down and the pets aren't ready to go. How can you tell when it is the right time?
The first thing I look at, the very first thing, is I look at, will the independent frequencies come in? Because they absolutely will not interfere with a being's right to leave, whether that being has 2 feet, 4 feet, or no feet. They will not interfere. So that's my first clue, if they will not come in. And animals are very clear about, I want to leave, I need to leave. And then the only conversation I have with the animal is, do you want help? Can I help you? Can a veterinarian help you? What help can we get you? And sometimes the animal just needs permission to say, you know, your mama or your dad or your, you know, if especially if it's a child, it's harder if a child owns them than if an adult owns them. For some reason, they are far more reluctant to leave a child than they are to leave an adult. And you know, unless the child's a stinker. But generally, I can say, you know, and so we have to make sure, and we, you know, we'll have the conversation with the child if they're old enough and say, you know, Sparky hurts and Sparky needs to go. Sparky needs to go home now. Are you okay with Sparky being safe and healthy? And you can meet Sparky later on, many, many, many years from now when you're ready. And you know, most little kids are like, yeah, okay, fine. You know, I'm good with that. And then Sparky will say, okay, I want help. And how do you want the help? Again, do you want to, you know, I was working with a dog last weekend that he was done. He was absolutely done. And he was very clear that if they were going to have the vet come to the house, he was to be helped outside. He did not want to be helped inside. He wanted to go outside. I was like, okay, that's what you want. That's what you got. And that's what they did. They did exactly what he asked them to do. And he wanted to go then. He didn't want to wait till Monday. He wanted to go then. So they're very clear. Animals are astonishingly clear. And yeah, they will absolutely stay for our sake. And that's the ones that I really feel bad about. I don't like seeing an animal stay for their people. Because, you know, if they're hurting and they're in bad shape, it's like, that's not fair. Then we have to work with the person, get the person so they're okay to say goodbye.
Hmm. Well, that sounds like that can be a challenge at points.
Sometimes I've had to say to someone with a 7 or 8 year old kitty, your kitty's done. I'm like, no, they're only 7 or 8. No, they can't possibly be done. I said, they're done. They're leaving. And you need to make it easy for them because they want some help. And you know, they're like, no. It's like, okay, whatever. But at least I can get them to call the veterinarian, and the veterinarian will come. And the minute the veterinarian, at least in the cases where I've had this happen, the minute the veterinarian looks at the animal, like, what on earth? Because maybe they'd seen the animal 6 months ago, and the animal was the peak of health. And now the animal is just not doing well. And one of the things that I've seen happen more often than I've been astounded by this myself, is quite often animals will decide to leave in pairs. That one animal truly, truly is sick, and the other animal will go with them to keep them, to help them.
Hmm.
And it's like, but you're only 7 years old and you're not sick. I don't care. I need to go to be with them and help them. And it's like, okay, that's a tough one. That's a tough one when that happens. It's tough on the owners. I don't like having to deliver that message. But, you know, when I get that message, it's very clear that's what the animals want. It's like, all right.
Well, I don't know if there's anything else you'd like to talk about in the remaining minutes or if it's time to end the show for tonight. I leave that to you.
Well, I would like to wish everyone the very best of holidays, with both Thanksgiving and Christmas being peculiar this year, different than we've ever had them before. And remember the fact that, you know, this is where you get back into the conversation of being in the world but not of the world, that we absolutely, for the sake of our animals and for the sake of ourselves, we need to remember we are spiritual beings. We are not physical beings having a spiritual experience. And the fact that we are spiritual beings, whatever happens, however it works out, you know, we all signed up to be here now to help one another. And so that's our job, is let's just be kind and help one another.
That's a beautiful sentiment. Thanks for sharing that, Kate. And for people that want to find more information about Kate, you can go to her website, which is kateshaddock.com. That's K-A-T-E. S-H-A-D-O-C-K. And so, Kate, thank you once again for joining me. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, David. I always enjoy being on the show with you.
Thank you. So once again, we come to a close. Let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Good night, everybody, and God bless.